Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. Where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox, everybody. My name is Alon.
My name's Ara.
And behind the glass over there is Andrew, who likes to screw up our intros from time to time so that you can always... You can hear that it's real. It's a real show. That's what we do here on KFNX 1100 AM.
Unscripted.
Yes, unscripted. It's definitely true. I don't know if that's how I want to advertise, but anyway, like I said, my name's Alon. This is Ara. We do a show here every week. It's, what is it? It's 9 p.m. on the West Coast, midnight on the East Coast.
That's right.
Until we change time again. Well, that is, until everybody else changes the time. Anyway, that's because we don't change. So, like, one day it'll be 10 and 1. Even later for you folks. So, thank you, Andrew. Here's what we're going to talk about today. Last week, I mentioned that I had jury duty, and I would be so excited to talk about it this week. Those bastards canned me on the second day. They settled out of court, and so I didn't really get to have more jury duty, and I was bummed about that.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, I figured...
Was it at least a fun case?
Well, it would have been. But like the
PlayStation 3, like someone got hit in the...
No, not at all video game related, but it was a sexual harassment suit. So there were like naughty words used, and the plaintiff's counsel did not want to say the naughty words in front of us. And I was like, just come on, say it. Like she printed them on paper and showed them on a projector. That's how we knew what the words were.
Wow.
So she was like talking about effing C's and fat effing B's and stuff like that.
So worse than radio.
Apparently, yeah, the censorship was self-sustained. Anyway, so that's what happened to me last week. I kind of got screwed out of serving my jury duty, which was a bummer. And I got my teeth taken out. So
are they back in?
No, they're still not here. I didn't talk to you much about it, but anyway, yeah, I lost my teeth on Friday. And then those bastards didn't keep them for me, so I don't have them. I'm talking about my wisdom teeth, in case that wasn't obvious.
Okay, good. I was wondering what those things were in between your lips.
Apparently, after the surgery, and before I became conscious again, or before I can remember anyway, like there was a long period of time where I was making phone calls and complaining to the people in the office that I wanted my teeth back and things like that, and I have no recollection. I guess I was kind of belligerent, so...
Oh, you know what I did this weekend? I just thought of this. I had a video game idea epiphany. My friend, he works in the film industry, right? And he's a Steadicam operator.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, a Steadicam is this really, really cool kind of contraption where you basically mount this camera to a vest that's attached to your body. And you've got this rig, and it kind of like stabilizes the thing, and you kind of run around with it, right?
Sometimes it even has gyros on it, right?
Yeah, stuff like that. So, like, basically, you know, I was watching my friend put together his camera rig where you have to tape all these things to, you know, this long pole that the camera is attached to.
And, tape?
Well, you know, tape, attach, whatever. I mean, like, there's a lot of improvisation, right? Because, like, you know, sometimes you use this light or this battery or this transmitter, and sometimes you don't.
Okay.
And I was watching him assemble the thing, and I was like, wow, this is so video game-like, right? Because he's trying to balance the thing to put things around it so that the center of gravity is relatively stable. And I said, like, wow, that would be such a cool idea for, like, a video game. You know, there's some games about making movies and stuff, I guess, but there's no game that's really about...
definitely no game about becoming a camera operator.
The production grunt work, yes, and this is so cool. And I thought, wow, that would be kind of like a cool puzzle game.
That sounds to me like a side quest in The Sims.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, like Trauma Center. Like, I'm inspired by Trauma Center because that was such a cool game.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, your camera operator so far does not sound interesting.
No, look, I know that it's, I mean, you're not going to be like a hero or anything. You're not going to, you know, shoot like a million bad guys, you know, but these kinds of like, you know, occupational type games, a lot of times, you know, there's been other ones like, I think... There's one where you operated some kind of tractor trailer or something. They're really fun and creative a lot of times. And
all right, dude. If you get a proposal on my desk by Monday, next
right.
Monday,
you got the funding.
I'll have it to the right people.
You got the funding?
No worries, man. You and me.
Okay,
we'll take it to the top.
We're gonna do it.
Like Big Mother Truckers.
Don't steal our idea, guys.
You know, apparently games like that. I don't remember if it was Big Mother Truckers or I think it was actually
yeah.
that like introduced some new technology and you have no idea because it's some diddly game. But I guess, like, for the PS2, I really think it was Big Mother Truckers. introduced like streaming. Well, didn't really introduce, but it the developers created a method of streaming the worlds in off the disk, and so reducing load times and all this stuff.
But that was done before that, though.
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't done very much, and also it certainly wasn't necessarily done in this sort of context.
Yeah, but actually, that reminds me something that was really interesting. You remember the game Sega's 18-wheeler?
Yeah.
Simulation game. Not so much of a simulation,
which
but
was not fun at all, that, in my opinion.
The Dreamcast version, did you ever play the home version?
That was the only one I played.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was really cool because you had all of these parking challenges where you had to maneuver your big rig, you know, through a whole bunch of obstacles. And, I mean, I thought that was really cool because, I mean, it was like, wow, you know, I'm learning how to maneuver this gigantic truck. You know, where, I mean, it moves in ways that aren't, you know, immediately obvious, right?
Going in reverse is a little bit weird.
Yeah, there's some kind of relationship there. It's, I mean, it's totally non-trivial. So, you know, I think that would be a great simulation for people who are, you know, I don't know, aspiring to be, you know, 18-wheeler valets or something.
You know, if I wanted to be a truck driver, I certainly would take a look at 18-wheeler.
There you go. I just thought it was totally cool. It was like, wow, I'm actually learning a skill where, you know, there's actually some modicum of transference to something in real life. So I thought that was pretty.
Oh, come on, that happens. Didn't you play Cooking Mama?
Cooking Mama. Did you play Cooking Mama?
Okay, no, I didn't play Cooking Mama. But come on, if you want to work in the fast food industry, you've got to play Cooking Mama. All right.
You know what else is funny? There's another game. I forget what it was called. It only came out in Japan, but I think it was like a Cooking Mama predecessor. And yeah, you had to, you know, had this grill, and you had to like put food in different places, right?
I mentioned several times on the show how I have the convenience store simulator for the Sega Saturn. That's Japanese only.
Yeah, what's that like?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very Japanese.
Not fun.
I'll have to show it to you sometime, right? But it's like I said, very Japanese.
Yeah. So is this one.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because you don't have any normal foods. You have, you know, tofu and I don't know, weird kinds of fish. Yeah.
All right. So something else happened this week, or was it last week? I don't know. The Halo 3 commercial came out. Did you watch this?
I completely missed it.
Okay. Well, it's a good commercial. It's interesting. I was happy to watch it a couple times.
Does it have any tracks from Donnie Darko on it?
I don't believe it does. But then again, I'm not familiar enough with Donnie Darko to tell you for sure. But here's what bugged me is that I came home today and my roommate is playing Xbox 360. As he does quite often, right? And he's looking through the Xbox marketplace because he wants to get the new Lost Planet, which actually isn't even that new anymore, but the Lost Planet multiplayer demo, because we hadn't played that yet. And
I heard that's a big seller.
It's been doing really well, although he played it and was not very impressed. Looks fantastic. That game looks amazing. But the game itself didn't seem that fun. But that was very first impressionist-ish. And so you need to give it a little bit more time, I think, to make a valid decision. I haven't tried it myself yet. I only watched him play. Anyway, so he's looking through the Xbox marketplace. And this is something we've touched on in the past about microtransactions and right. How they're sort of going awry a bit lately. And I like bringing it up because it's something that I bitched about long before it was available and how people were going to hate it. And I love talking about how I was right about stuff. And I was right. So anyway, we're looking through the Xbox Live marketplace. And he notices the Halo 3 commercial. Great. Except you've got to pay for it. You've got to actually pay 150 Xbox Live
really?
For the privilege of watching their advertisement.
Now, wait a minute. Is this one of those things where if you're a silver member, then you have to wait? Or like gold members don't have to pay and silver members have to pay?
Well, see, I don't know because I don't take the time to go on to Xbox Live Marketplace with a silver membership. I only go on with the gold one. But
okay, so you were on with gold, right?
Yes.
Okay, and even still you had to pay.
Oh, yeah.
That's wow.
All right, so
that's supply and demand, my friend.
Yeah, let's go through a basic concept of marketing here. And I know you know this, but humor me for a second.
Go for it.
Companies want to advertise to people. The purpose of advertising is to get their product known so that it will then be purchased. Right? They, under normal circumstances, pay other media outlets to air said commercial. They're paying money.
This is true.
And then the public will view it for free. Who's going to pay for the advertising, right? Because that would be silly. They'll view the advertisement because they happen to be watching free television or they happen to be listening to free radio or reading a newspaper or magazine, which may not have been free, but either way, subsidized by advertising. So they're being advertised to and paid for by the company. Now,
that's a very solid marketing principle, let me tell you.
Yes, it's very standard and solidified in today's society. So then we go on to Xbox Live Marketplace, and we think, oh, they have Halo 3 commercial. Why don't we watch that? They make some content available for free. What content should be available for free, you ask? How about effing advertising? That should definitely be free, and I should be paid for watching it, in fact.
I have a theory here. I think I know why they did this. Besides the fact that they probably think that, you know, there's just so many freaks out there who will just gladly just shell out the dough for something like this. You know, when I bought a few credits online, those Microsoft dollars, whatever the...
Are you kidding me?
No, I did. I did it once because I bought Zuma, right?
Okay.
So I had some... You can only buy, I think, in certain denominations, right?
Yeah, 500 at a time.
And games are only in certain denominations.
Different than those 500 points.
Yes. And incidentally, strategically formulated, so you have a small amount left over most of the time.
Yeah.
So I have like 200 credits or something, I think, left over, which I can't buy anything with other than, I don't know, maybe like some picture of Master Chief that's like 32 by 32 pixels. And so maybe they're like, okay, you know, these people, they will spend their money on this.
Well, that's the thing.
And that's rather insidious if they did, in fact, think that
far
ahead.
It is completely insidious. The fact that they are even have the balls to ask me to pay for their advertising.
Do you think they're going to make that free in a couple of weeks?
I think it'll definitely be free. Especially
that's even worse, because that's a slap in the face to everybody who pays for that now.
Well, not only that, it's free everywhere else. If you want to download it and watch it on your 360, like, I guess they're providing that sort of archival convenience, but that's just idiotic.
Maybe it's some kind of bizarre marketing experiment, right? I mean, who's tried this before?
Well, listen, bottom line is, if you can get people to pay for something, why not? But my complaint from the very beginning was that when we allow these microtransactions, it will go wrong. People will do things that are just unscrupulous. Yeah.
I think this will settle eventually. I think that they're trying crazy stuff just because they can. They'll find out that, you know what, people are not as much suckers as they think they are.
On the contrary, it's getting worse. They're realizing that people will buy BS, and they did it.
Guys, please don't be suckers.
Yeah, of all people, Microsoft is supposed to be the one in control, not milking the consumer. We're going to talk more about this and some other things as soon as we're back from the break. Stay tuned, everybody.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got Andrew back there doing some kind of crazy juggling tricks. I don't know what's going on over there.
Ah!
Apparently John Kerry's back there, too.
Yeah, not John Kerry, dude.
Oh, who is it?
That's Howard Dean.
Howard Dean, right.
Ah!
They're all the same to me, these politicians.
I guess Howard Dean wasn't too bad, actually.
Except for that part.
Yeah. Anyway, I gotta get back on my rant after I point out that you should go to uat.edu. We talk about the University of Advanced Technology a lot, and you should go there if you're interested.
Here's a little-known fact about UAT. My lead actually spoke at a lecture there last week.
Your what?
My lead.
Your lead? Like your designing lead?
My design lead. Oh,
that's cool. Right. Is it Tech Forum that's going on right now?
It was some kind of, what was the class called? Game aesthetics, I believe.
Okay, so we just came in to talk to a class.
Yeah.
Like, they do this thing every other semester or something called Tech Forum where you, like...
Well, I hate to interrupt.
What?
I was actually there at the speech.
Were you?
I was there. I actually recorded part of the speech. Could I play it?
Did you? Oh.
Yeah.
Sure, play. Yeah, sure. Here. I mean, if you have that instant.
Yeah, let me play it. Here. Hold on.
Go ahead.
I totally didn't know this. What a surprise.
Here it is.
Was that all?
That's all I could get.
That's all. Okay. Well, you know what? I had heard that there was some sort of crazy Howard Dean-like audio that happened there, but moving on.
Are you playing Riven back in there or something, or Myst? Like, what's with the gear now?
It did sound like it. Andrew really needs to work on his style there when he's going to play a clip like that. A two-second bit is not going to cut it.
That's all I get. I have one of the really short tapes.
We're slightly more professional here at Chatterbox.
Okay, right. So getting back to the thing, we just learned that it costs how many gamer points?
I guess it costs money, $10 basically, to change your gamer tag. But I'm less concerned with that because there's administrative fees and you want to stop people from selling accounts and stuff.
Right.
Just because
now that's
moronic.
Cool, but come on, administrative fees.
But I need to bitch here for a second about having stupid listeners. Now, any radio show will have stupid listeners, and that's fine. I mean, I've come to accept it. I like to think that the Chatterboxers sort of live in a higher echelon.
A lot expects
of understanding.
More from you guys.
Yeah. Now, we have a certain Ravens Dolphin in our forum right now, or our little chat. If you want to go to chatterboxgameshow.com, you can go talk for yourself with me, and Ara's here reading it as well.
Now, you realize, of course,
listeners.
That you're crushing all his hopes and dreams in one fell swoop here.
Well, that's all right, because if he wants to call us, he can call at 866-536-1100 and defend why he's being so apathetic about this. And you know what? I don't even mind the apathy, but it's the whole, hey, it doesn't matter, just go online and watch it. And like, I think you're missing the point, Ravens Dolphin, what I'm trying to say here.
You never question what Alon says.
Well, not when I'm right. And I tend not to speak unless I'm right. So generally, yeah, don't argue with me. It'll suit you better. I'm saying that I don't like the idea that I'm being asked to pay for advertising. What's worse, though, is that, like, I'm smart enough to avoid it. I understand I can go online and watch it. But there are other people who aren't necessarily dumb. At least not in the respect that, like, they don't know that they can find it elsewhere for free.
Perhaps just ignorant.
But they simply don't care. There are people in this world, and especially in America, who are willing to just blow their wads on things like this. Here, let's throw 150 points at this, and 100 points at this, and 200 points at that. The fact that you can buy gamer little pictures when you want to have your avatar on...
Yeah, for like 50 or 80 points or however many it is.
Yeah, that's completely moronic, as it is. When you get a game, that should come as a value-added bonus.
You know what's really interesting about this is that I think that the companies, the people who are putting this out, are banking on the idea that to you, the consumer, it's going to be such a small amount, it's going to be so negligible that you're going to basically say that it's free. It's just going to be almost free for you. Yeah. So you're just going to be like, I'm not even going to think about this. Sure, why not?
No, and that's exactly what it is. Right. But we're falling victim to it. And the problem is that as we continue to do this, they're going to continue to offer it. And like we were saying before any of this happened, is that now things that should have been part of the game, things that should have come automatically or for free or, you know, as an unlockable or something, are now a paid option. So the people who just want to pay their $50 or $60 and get their game now have to pay extra. And I personally have a certain rule against paying for all this extra crap. Because they're just screwing you. Oh, do we have Ravens Dolphin on the phone? Have we called in? Is he audible? Are we going to be able to actually understand him? All right, Ravens Dolphin, I understand you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, man?
I just wanted to defend my point. I'm sorry if I ruffled your feathers. It's just so widely available online. I'm just saying that's all. That's just so widely available. And I didn't know you had to pay money. I really didn't know that.
Oh, that's what we talked about. After I talked about the fact that you had to pay money, you said, this doesn't bother me. Just stream the video through your computer, case closed. And I'm letting go of your poor spelling, by the way. I'm not mentioning it to folks. But it amazes me. I might have just mentioned it. All right, like, you're free to your opinion. Everyone is, and that's cool. But damn it, this is going down the wrong path. And it's making things bad. And we've talked about it in the past. And even, I'm not the only one.
He just doesn't want you to give in to the man.
Yeah.
I'm not giving in to the man. I didn't pay 150 Microsoft points for it.
People like you, man. It's people like you who just don't think it's a big deal. To spend a dollar. What is 150 points? That's like $2.
That's like, I don't know, 12 shekels or
that's
something.
That's just under $2. Just
you're
under
right.
$2.
You're right, Alon. You're right. You're always right.
That's right, sir. I am.
You're always right. I should have known that. I shouldn't mess with the almighty Alon.
You are correct. And now it's time to hang up.
Aw, I just wanted to say that EA's evil for making me pay.
EA?
Yeah, EA.
Now he's talking some sense. People.
They're the ones that are making these transactions a real nightmare. I hate them.
Yeah, what are they doing exactly? No, I'm curious. What's going on
with
that? All
right, for Need for Speed, you know, for Need for Speed Carbon, they have these new downloads for it. And just like it's microtransactions.
Yeah, what are the new downloads?
Dude, it costs $95 to own all of Need for Speed Carbon for the 360. Did you know
what?
That?
No.
Dude, if you get all the microtransaction crap, it's a $95 game.
Okay. No, I want to hear this, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, just you only get a car. You only get, like, this 1960-something Chevy. And the rest is, like, you get unlocked in the game if you're patient enough to do it.
Right. Well, that's
that,
the...
I find that very evil. I find
wait,
that...
Wait, now, hold on. Why is it evil if you have to earn the cars that you drive?
Just because, wouldn't you like to have the excitement of finding the cars and actually unlocking it yourself instead of just paying money?
Yeah, I think there's a confusion here, Ara. Now, are you telling us you can unlock them or buy them, or that you only have the option to buy them?
You can buy one car, but the rest is already in the game.
Okay, can you unlock them without paying points for them?
Yes.
Okay, so basically by paying points, you're simply making them...
You're skipping parts of the game, right?
Yes, yes.
That's pretty lame, isn't
it? Yeah, we agree with you that that is idiotic. I do. I assume Ara's with me here.
So what did you do? Did you actually unlock them, or did you say, instead of playing the game, I'll play 20 more minutes?
I'm going to take my time. I paid $60 for the game, and I want to enjoy it. I don't want to rush through it. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, so how is that stopping you from enjoying it? I mean, why don't you just play the game?
Well, it's not. It's just how people. I don't like people taking the easy road if it's right there. Why take the easy road if you can take the normal road?
Dude, paying money
that's
not the easy.
That's
road.
The American way.
Yeah, it is, and that's what I hate about it. I'm with you on that one, Raven Dolphin.
That was an interesting point.
The paying for advertising, BS. Anyway, that's the music. We'll be back after this break. I'll rant about some other stuff.
Hey, to me. Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
We are back, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon and...
Ara.
And Andrew... See, where is it when I need the sound effect and you can't?
Apparently, you're going to be responsible for making the sound effect. That's pretty good.
It is pretty close, huh?
Yeah.
There it is. I guess I should discuss with you ahead of time if I actually want to hear it.
How old is that clip? Like a year and a half? 2 years?
Yeah, way more than that, dude. Like 4 years, almost. Okay, that's not true. Anyway, so there
this
it is.
Is KFNX.
So we were talking about this stuff before the break and before the other break and pretty much all show.
I didn't realize that they did that microtransaction thing with Need for Speed Carbon to quite that extent.
Yeah, it's kind of excessive. And what we were just talking about during the break is how it breaks game design when you do something like that. It takes external factors into account, something that I assume you would have a major problem with.
Yeah, it's really funny because in one way, it just completely... ruins the design because, you know, if you're a game designer, under normal circumstances anyway, right, you've got something of value in the game, right? So the player, you teach them something in the course of earning that thing. So when they obtain, you know, let's say, I don't know, said car or whatever, right, there's, you know, a certain challenge they had to go through.
Yeah.
So the game designer uses the fact that, you know, they've had to go through A, B, and C to get this car to then present other challenges to them. Once the player gets this car, in other words, the game designer can safely assume that, you know, they've learned the skills, a certain set of skills to get to this point, and so now they can build off of these skills and challenge them in new and different ways. Now that you can just buy the car with cash money,
yeah,
it just completely circumvents that, and it kind of flattens the game design in a way so that you just have to make sure that you're not doing too much to challenge the player in different ways. It really, I mean, I think it waters down the whole experience.
Yeah, let's give our listeners a concrete example here. And this doesn't necessarily apply to a specific game, but let's say you're playing a driving game. And I don't know if Carbon does this at all, right? You can earn a car. Let's say you can earn a car that has particularly high characteristic of drifting or something, right? So you probably have to go through a level or some sort of challenge that involves a drifting challenge, right? Right. And then you unlock the special drifting car. Whereas if you were to just buy this car right off the bat, which drifts like mad, and you don't know how to control it because you haven't earned it.
Right. You might not have the skills. In fact, you probably don't have the skills to drive such a car.
Yeah, and then you're driving around with this car that you don't know how to use it, and you think the game is crap because, oh, well, this car is dumb. I don't know how to use it. I'm flailing all over the track like this, like a fish. And that's the sort of thing that we're talking about with game design. And, I mean, extrapolate this a little bit. Let's say you're playing a game with a lot of levels and you can't get past a certain level, right? All right, so I bought the cheat to warp me to level 7 out of 8 or something. So I've bypassed part of the game.
It wouldn't even be any fun to play that level because you don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, not only that, what game designer wants you to buy your way out of playing the game? I mean, I guess anybody does because it just means more money in their pocket.
Right.
But the bottom line is we're supposed to be trying to get these people to play the game. Like, I know that it's a marketing thing and I know we have to get money out of them.
Here's the funny thing. I mean, how far is marketing going? I mean, to me, it seems like now, instead of designing games and then, you know, marketers market the games, right? Now there's just so many facets of the design being tuned to optimize marketing at the cost of everything else.
Yeah.
It's just sales, sales, sales.
Well, not everybody does this, but we've sort of gotten used to EA doing this in some cases. And it surprised me so much when I saw Microsoft charging for advertising. Now, nothing to do with the game. I don't think that they're going to be doing microtransactions for Halo because I don't think Bungie will allow it. At least not in a way that would break the game design. I trust them more than that. Now, my trust has been broken in the past.
You trust too much, my friend.
But Bungie hasn't really screwed up so much lately, so I'm going to give them that leeway. But with Microsoft charging for this advertisement, it was just ridiculous. And I often refer back to this clip of Jay Allard referring to cell phone-like transactions before the 360 came out. He was trying to, you know, rile up the game developers at the GDC several years ago about these cell phone-like transactions. And I was like, dude, that is going to lead down the wrong path. And that's where it's gone, where now they're charging us like $1.90 to watch their ad that you can very clearly, according to Ravensdolf, view online for free. Absolutely right. But unfortunately, a lot of people aren't going to do that.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, as any other business is, the video games business is about making money. So I'm not opposed to making money or doing things in order to optimize making money in games. But there has to be some kind of limit there. You know, there has to be some kind of threshold, which apparently that idea is diminishing. And I think this is a really good segue into the next topic I wanted to talk about, which was used games trading.
Yes.
For example, I don't know how many of you out there realize this, but game publishers don't want you to buy and sell used games.
Yeah, that's actually been, I don't know if we've talked about it on the show before, but that's something I've read about several times online and blogs and things talking about how it's hurting the industry.
For example, you know, did you know in Japan there's a lot of Sony games that they have a no used sale logo on the box itself?
As I understand it, it may actually be against the rules or laws to even sell used games in Japan.
That's
weird. Anyway.
But I found a really interesting quote that I want to read to you guys. This was in a Gamma Sutra interview with this guy named John Haidt, who's the director of external production at Sony. And he was talking about, you know, selling games directly via pay and download services like 360 Live. He said, certainly, being able to sell globally online makes it easier to reach international and remote markets. On the business side, it also lowers our cost of sales and eliminates inventory risk. It should help curtail used game sales and piracy. Now, do you see the same weirdness in this that I do? He's mentioning used game sales and piracy in the same breath as if both of them are in equal need of being stopped.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from with that one.
And here's the bizarro thing, is that if you think about it from a purely economical perspective, piracy on one hand and selling used games, they are very, very close, because in both instances, someone's playing your game and they're not paying for it.
They're not paying you.
They're not paying you. No, that's right. That's what I was going to say. They're not getting money. They want to get money every single time you play a game.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got to look at it this way. It's what they've been banking on historically is people paying for a game that they're not playing. I pay for the game for the first month. It then sits and does nothing. No value is being garnished from it. And used game trading is allowing people to monetize or to make back their money because, okay, the game's been sitting there, so there's an inherent value in it, but it's been paid and it's done, right?
Right.
And so he's saying he wants to curtail that, which is fine for him, but it's him just getting greedy.
Right. Well, there's some kind of like feeling of like entitlement or this kind of unique greed in this video game industry that I haven't seen in other industries. I mean, did the book industry complain that, you know, you've read your, I don't know, Dean Koontz's whatever, you know, novel and, you know, now you're selling it used? And are they like, you know, no, we should curtail used book sales? I mean, what is that?
No, look at the car industry. Look at, I mean,
there you go.
It's fairly similar. They've found a way to work with a model which, you know, goes along with a free market economy. But in the case of video games, the value of one particular game doesn't increase if it's new or used, provided that it works, right? Either right. It works or it doesn't work, right? But if it does work, then the new game really isn't any more valuable than the used game. And that's the difference between the car industry and, you know, or the automotive industry, I guess, and the video game industry. But I think it's still BS. I think it's just them getting used to the world the way it was 10 years ago before there were used games.
Right. I mean, is it not your right if you buy a product that if you don't want to play it anymore, you can sell it?
It totally is. And that's the thing. They're facing that. They're like, all right, there's this.
And if you want to be, you know, screwed by EB Games and get, you know, I don't know, 2 cents on the dollar or whatever for your used games.
I'm very much considering trading in Tony Hawk for the Wii, by the way.
But anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, it's the fact is that there's a model that exists in a free market economy, which goes against what they came to love several years ago. But the fact also remains that they're making more money than ever. Well, sort of. Some people complain that it's harder and harder to make money these days. But there's a larger market out there. And I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to make money from used game sales if they don't become the retailers themselves.
Well, they want to stop used game sales. And one of the things that's kind of
digital
contributing
delivery
to that. Yes, digital delivery. Because you know what? There's nothing for the consumer to sell.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I hate about digital delivery. And I said Xbox Live Arcade. Sure, I will love those games as soon as I can buy them on disc. Because that way, too, if the server goes down or my hard drive dies or whatever, I still have it. And that's why I was glad that the Xbox Live Arcade disc came out. Or the Xbox Live Unplugged, I think it's called.
That's pretty cool. There's also one other thing about this trend that really scares me. You know, another reason why I think that this is a bad idea for, you know, these publishers, these bigwigs to pursue this, is that there's a huge market that buys used games that will never buy the same game for full price new. You know, let's say you got a copy of, I don't know, some random game. Let's call it Death Race 2000, the game or whatever.
Okay.
And let's say it's $50, but a used copy is $25. Now, what if you couldn't buy the game used, right? You'd have to pay $50 if you want it, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, I mean, games go down in price.
Right, but I mean, for, you know, even when they go down in price, we still have this two-tiered thing, right?
Yes.
So let's just, you know, we're talking about the upper tier and the lower tier. Let's say the lower tier is gone. Some of the people who would normally just buy the used version at the cheaper price, some of them will, you know, they'll just take it up the rear end and shell out for the full price. But also, you know, some of them won't buy it at all now. So you might make more money in the short term, or you might get more of the money in the short term, but your product ends up reaching a smaller audience.
Well, in addition...
And is this what we want?
But on top of that, you're still making money from the used game market in a way because the people who are buying new games are able to buy more new games because they're contributing to the used market economy.
It's very complex, right? There's this whole system of interaction going on here.
And they're discounting it as irrelevant.
I think they are, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, and did you know that Sony's already starting this digital delivery with Tekken 5 downloadable to the PlayStation 3?
Be very scared.
And it's their first example of a full-fledged game. Anyway, we'll be back after the break. Got a couple more things to talk about, everybody. Give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you want to join in. We'll be right back.
I love the big screen. So fresh and so clean. It's all in my dreams. It makes me want to scream. PSP.
Salon, you're making my heart shrivel.
Dude, this is a good part.
TSP, 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 TSP.
The video is way worse than the
song. Oh my god, okay, but before I go berserker, please, please.
It's so fresh and so clean. This is what we're talking about in this segment. It's very relevant.
TSP, TSP, TSP.
Alright guys, well...
All right.
This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and what you just heard was an abomination of marketing.
Yeah. Now, if you checked out blogs today, Kotaku and Joystick, you'd see what this is all about. I don't think that it was kids who came out of UAT who made these videos.
No.
I mentioned them again.
Perhaps not even kids.
Yeah. This is another topic. Someone wrote in asking, wanting us to talk more about whether or not they should go to school.
Oh yeah.
For video games. We'll talk about that one day again.
It's a good question.
We bring it up a few times. I want to talk about it next month because I have a friend who graduated from UAT and then got a job working with EA on Medal of Honor.
We should do like a debate or something, you know?
We'll get some people in from the school here. Anyway, so this video here, it's on the website All I Want for Christmas is a PSP, which is a site that is made to look like a fan site for the PSP. That, like, the top post on it says, I, Charlie, have a PSP. My friend Jeremy does not, but he wants one this year for Christmas, so he started clowning with some not-so-subtle hints to Jay's parents that a PSP would be the perfect gift. We created this site to spread the love to those like Jay who want a PSP. By the way...
This is incorrigible.
Yeah, the cost for the domain and the hosting for this would approach the cost of a PSP. Right? So... I mean, I guess that's not true if you're only getting a month of hosting or something, but that would be moronic. And so, Sony has hired these people. I think their name is Zippatoni, this marketing company, right? To pretend like they've got a fan site. And yeah, I imagine there's more than one.
It's too high budget, guys. It didn't work. Try again.
Yeah, it's just... Here's why this is bad. Lying is bad. All right?
I agree.
Generally not good. Lying to kids, in my opinion, in order to get them to spend money or have their parents spend money, is even worse. And to bring that back, that lovely word from earlier today, insidious, it's a perfect descriptor.
At the very least.
For this website. Yeah. Like, there's no posting at the bottom.
I'm beside myself. I'm at a loss for words. I don't even know what to say.
It's so amazingly bad that I would think, oh, that's a joke. That's funny that... It's so fake, right? But at the bottom, there's no reference to Zippatoni, the company that makes it. There's no reference to it being fake. The whole thing is really, it honest to God, looks like it is meant to intentionally steer people to get the PSP, which is fine, but they do it by lying, by saying they actually, whatever, they want to get their parents to get it and all that crap. And it's just total BS. And this sort of marketing is horrible that they would do this, and I'm sure there's more than one. I don't know more about it. Like, we've had these alternate reality games and stuff that get you to want to buy a game or something, and that's fine. That's marketing. That's getting you, you know, creating brand awareness and getting you to visit certain websites and all that. But it doesn't flat out claim, "Hey, I'm a kid. I want to get a PSP." By the way, the guy in this video, not a friggin' kid who can't afford a PSP. He's like in a giant loft apartment with all sorts of furniture and fly clothes, and he's asking his mom for a $200 PSP.
You know what this reminds me of? You ever seen Halloween 3?
No.
You know, they've got this this pumpkin head on the TV screen in some kind of commercial.
All right, keep going with it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, this guy's repeating, you know, PSP, PSP, PSP. I mean, like, this is brainwashing.
Basically. It's just...
How many kids are running around? I mean, I don't know. In a way, I guess it's kind of like clever or whatever, but because how many kids are running around their parents going, PSP, whatever?
I mean, this sort of thing's been going on for a while where corporate entities or people who just want to serve their own cause will go to Amazon reviews, right? And they'll put their own review up of something. Or you go to GameStop and there's people who write reviews for games that aren't released yet. And in the review, they even reference that they're going to get it when it comes out. So obviously they haven't seen it, right? So for some reason, maybe they want to get their post up or whatever. But then there's other ones that are just, you know, going on and on about how great this particular product is, even if it's before it's been released.
Right.
And you know that it's just corporate people going in there and you know, jacking up their ratings and stuff. And it's just horrible. The lying shouldn't happen. Like, I'm fine with maybe a little spin, right? If you want to word it the right way or something, like, that's not cool, but it's okay. Like, I'm not going to yell at you for it because you're not flat out lying. But something like this, they create an entire website and they try to steer kids to do these things, and just miserable. And they do it all over the place. They do it on websites with reviews. They do it with entire websites like this that are flat out lying. And for this reason, it makes me hate Sony even more.
Well, a sucker is born every minute, and they know that very well.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that backlashes on them, right? And they're like, oh, you know what? We made a poor decision in getting this company to represent us, and we disagree with some of their choices, and we apologize. And, like, I've been spammed in the past by companies, and, like, when I was all pissed off about it in college, thinking I could do something about the spam, like, I call up the company in the spam. I'm like, dude, yeah, I'm getting spam from you. I don't want it. No, I don't want to buy a house. Like, I don't need financing or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we're not responsible for that. We got a company, you know, to do this for us. And
that's,
I was like,
right,
all right,
pass the buck.
Yeah,
just like
you're
that.
Responsible for companies doing your marketing, jackass. And Sony is definitely responsible for this. And I hope it bites them in the ass just as bad as the PS3 launch did. And I mean, maybe I should have developed this thought a little bit more, because all I can do is say it's bad. I wish I could hear from the callers, like, how do you feel about this? Feel free to email us, by the way.
Was anyone tricked by this? I'd be curious to find out.
Not anyone who listens to this show, I hope. Because we have mostly responsible listeners, with some exceptions that we've discussed. But, like, give us an email, Alon at Chatterbox Game Show, or Ara at Chatterbox Game Show, and we want to hear what you have to say about this, because this is just ridiculous. And, like, certainly send us other examples, too. This particular example, All I Want for Xmas is a PSP, was put up by Joystick and Kotaku.
You know what's really funny, actually? This is, you know, I used to do a fanzine a while ago. Like, I started it when I was in high school. And even back then, you know, there were attempts by publishers to kind of, you know, weasel their way virally and market in strange ways into the fan community. And one thing that Sega at the time tried to do was they gave us, myself and a whole bunch of other fanzine publishers, they gave us this pre-printed page for their game. I think it was Subterranea or whatever, for the Genesis. And it was an ad, and they were doing some kind of contest. And they were like, they just gave you this page, and they're like, you know, oh, put this ad in your fanzine. And I don't think really, I mean, there's maybe a couple of people did it, but most of us didn't buy it. You know, I got, like, I don't know, 75 copies of this piece of paper to put in my fanzine. And I'm like, this is
just to make it look professional, right?
Yeah, but this is just so antithetical to, you know, what we're doing, which is, you know, we're fans and we love the products. We love, you know, video games, and we like to write about them. You know, we're not going to proselytize or evangelize, you know, everything just because, you know, the publisher tells us to.
I'm sure some people did, because it made them look professional.
Some people
a real
did,
ad.
But yes, it's.
Anyway, we're gonna leave on that note, a very sad note, everybody. Down with Sony. They're pissing me off in so many ways, week after week. We'll be back next week, everybody, with more Chatterbox.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.